When Peter asked me to speak, I thought he was just going to give me a title. He said, "Oh no, do what you want." Oh, and you know, like when a dog is used to scraps, and then you throw in the whole meat, they just look at it, don't they? And I think it's like that sometimes, like, oh, what am I going to do? And I think sometimes that's like with the grace of God. Some people only expect scraps from him. They only expect, what do you expect from God tonight? Think about it. Let me read God's word. I nicked this. Not this Bible, someone gave me this. Not this. I nicked this same. B-I-B-L-E. The Bible. B-I-B-L-E. That's how you spell it. When I go around the schools, used to go around the schools, I loved going around the schools. B-I-B-L-E. Best instruction before leaving earth. You can't beat it. It's God loving. Remember that. Best instruction before leaving earth. Let's turn to Mark's gospel. If you want to follow it with me, then it's Mark chapter 10. And we get verse 46. This is what the word of the Lord says. I hope it's the same in mine as it is up there behind you. And so they reached Jericho. Later, as Jesus and his disciples left town, a great crowd was following. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road as Jesus was going by. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus from Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," some of the people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "Teacher," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has healed you." And instantly, the blind man could see. Then he followed Jesus down the road. And I would say, this is the word of the Lord. Let's thanks be to God. What a passage. What a passage. Generally, for my little Bible study, I read the Good News Bible. I'm simple. My mother said to me when I was a kid, "Son, keep your mouth shut. They won't know how thick you are." Honestly. And I grew up with that. You've got to be careful what you say to children. Because I was afraid of people with O levels and A levels. Magnus with his. And I needed prayer over that. Magnus has got more degrees than I've had hot dinners, I think. He's got two, you got, well, two is more than what I've got. Anyway, that saying, keeping your mouth shut, you won't know how thick you are. It lived with me for a long time, even after I was married. When I went to college in 1987 to train to be a church army captain, all the young people, I was the eldest in my year. I was like the dad. I kept telling them off, "Where are you?" and all like this. But they were so blessed. They were so blessed with talents. And yeah, I was frightened of them. Because, keep your mouth shut, won't know how thick you are. I'm dyslexic. It's only through the church and reading the Bible I can read properly now. Whereas before I couldn't. I wonder whether in life you've got things that you struggle with. Think about this blind man. here. In my Good News Bible, I've just got three P's by the side of this little, not in this one, but in my Bible, I just read the Good News Bible. I've got three P's. Maybe I'll share them with you, because this story tells me about three P's. One, it was personal. Two, it was powerful. And three, it was perfect. It was three P's. Will you remember this? Three P's, what was it? Personal, powerful, perfect. It was. And sometimes, like, I don't know about you, sometimes in church, I've been coming to a church since I was seven. A lot of us come to church for different reasons. I came when I was seven because they had a good football team there in the boys' brigade. When I became a teenager, oh, they had some lovely girls. They had some, I married one. Right, Ian? Married one. But we sometimes become, when I was a builder, even though I came to Jesus when I was 16, I give my life to him, but I waned. Oh, I had the hallmarks. But deep inside, I'd lost that first love. So when I was a builder for 20 years, I used to give me cards out. Because I knew the people who came to church had a few bob, generally. I said, would you like a job done? And you couldn't meet a nicer guy on a Sunday. But if I could, honestly, if I could do you about 200 quid from Monday to Saturday, I would have done. Because at one time, money was my God. I used to count it every day, see how much I'd made. But I wasn't happy. I wasn't, and I'm a happy-go-lucky bloke. If you tell me what she'll tell you, I'm always happy, I'm always whistling. But deep down, I wasn't happy. I had problems. There were things that I wasn't telling people about. And I was thinking, I needed, as it were, I needed to be on the road to recovery. And I think all of us, at some stages in our lives, we need to be on that road. You know, how did I end up here in Wales? In this church? In a lovely place in Felinheli? I'm a lad born in Liverpool, eh? The eldest of three. No money in the house. My mum lived on Jew boys, as I used to call them. She, you know, the checks. Talk about payday loans. They're horrendous. For the 18 years of being in Ellesmere Port, I fought for it. Got a credit union going. I'm glad you've got one round here. You know, but I think about my mum who paid through the nose to just borrow money to have some food on the table. It was a struggle. And now I've ended here. We were talking about it today. We went out for lunch, didn't we, love? And we're just talking about life and people we've met. And it's absolutely been fantastic. But there's times when I look, you know, in my life, it's, you know, there's been problems. Here, what was the problem with Bartimaeus? He could not see. It stopped him from working. He had to beg every day. He had to beg every day just to get food on the table. You've watched the disaster, haven't we, on the telly? It's been horrendous. I play golf with Jeff. You know Jeff, don't you? He's a bandit. You tell him he's a bandit. Whenever you see him, tell him he's a bandit. He plays golf. He's a great player. And last week, I won for the first time. I couldn't believe it in the senior section. And won, so we have a little prize. Anyway, we decided that Jeff stood up and said, can we give all the, whatever we've raised, we put a quid into the kitty when we go and play. And, you know, whoever wins gets a share of it. So we said, let's send it to the disaster. What I won, I stood up and said, let's dig deep into our pockets. We're blessed playing golf and being together like we are. And we raised nearly 100 quid. Couldn't believe it. Just by saying something. Oh, me and him, we were like Cheshire Cats when we went out. He's a great bloke and I love being with him and having a chat with him. But it's like, sometimes you never know what's round the corner. I wonder how many years Bartimaeus had been sitting there. And yeah, what was it? He had this personal encounter with Jesus. In some ways, I'd say this. He seized the moment. And a lot of us in life don't seize the moment. We dilly-dally about things. Talk to Ian, he just goes for it. He was just telling me tonight. He makes a decision. Whether it's right or wrong, he goes for it. But some of us dilly-dally. But here, Bartimaeus didn't. He heard that Jesus was passing by. And some of us have passed by the moment. I'm what I call a late developer. I am. I know I am, because in some ways I was focused on other things. I wasn't surfing, as it were, where Jesus was. I was down the beach somewhere. Oh, I was doing all the things that, you know, maybe Christians do, and go to church. I can count on a pair of hands how many times I've missed on a Sunday. But I wasn't surfing where he should have been surfing, where he was surfing. And here was Bartimaeus. He seized the moment. He shouted out, "Hey, Jesus, Jesus, Son of David." That word, Son of David, it meant to the Jews, they knew what it meant. It meant Messiah. Not any odd bod, Messiah. They all knew what he shouted. If he were Liverpudlians passing by then, they wouldn't have said, "Be quiet." They would have said, "Shut up. Shut up." They would have done. And sometimes, friends, those of us that are in the church, and those who are searching for Jesus, sometimes we're saying, "Shut up." I've seen it, honestly, time and time again. When people are on fire for Jesus, those who've been at it for years get a bit jealous. I was talking to Rachel about it a couple of weeks ago over dinner. And we've got to be careful, those who have been long in the truth, been a Christian a long time. We've got to encourage our brothers and sisters who are just new to the faith. If they want to jump over us, that's fine by me. But for not for others now, I want to seize the moment, because here was the people who were close to Jesus were saying, "Shut up. Be quiet." I say, secondly, if you've had this personal encounter with Jesus, and it was powerful, and it was perfect, I want to say to you, ignore negative people. Oh, I used to love preaching that. I haven't preached for 7 months, but I always got to the back of the door, and one of my old days would go, "David, lovely servant, captain." Then I'd be waiting for it, but, the book came in. "You're a bit too long." "Oh, I'm watching the time, aren't you?" So I was like, we don't need to be. Just ignore the negative people. I'm saying, if you've met Jesus and it's been powerful, it's been very personal, just ignore the negative people. See, Jesus said to Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" Yeah, he knows all about you and me. All the mistakes I've made. All the times that I've listened to him and obeyed him. But he's listened to the times when I haven't obeyed him. You need to, in some ways, like for Bartimaeus, he surrendered his whole life. Do you know, he left his coat behind. Have you noticed? Good job it wasn't around where I lived. But, probably that may be the only thing he had, we don't know. But he just left his coat. Is that where he was left? When you come to Christ, you've got to let the old things go. I had a friend who became a friend. Chris's name was. He was sleeping on the church door in Ellesmere Port. My boss was away. The rector, he was away, so I wasn't in charge, but I was there. And it was snowing. It was just in his sleeping bag. Anyway, I got chatting to him, because I'm streetwise, some people just, you've got to just check them out. But I felt when I went home, I needed to go back, and Maybe Sue and they've got a story about someone who was sleeping in this doorway. Ask them about it. But I went back and I said to him, I said, look, I'm going to put you in the church hall. Good job the boss is not here because you don't allow it. And I put the eating on, I said, and I'm not threatening, but like, I want you to behave yourself. Here's some food, da da da. And he stayed a week in the church hall of a night. Anyway, I got to know him. And he had a few problems. In the end, we got him in a Christian place down in Birmingham. Do you know, he stayed for a year. We had him on the prayer notice board. People prayed for him. But all of a sudden, boom, as it were, backslid. Nearly was back on the road. I got to know his mum through the phone calls. He finally trusted me and gave her his mother's telephone number. He lived in Wales. Has it happened? And they were, but we never know. You can just try our best with people. Because sometimes we all make mistakes, don't we? All of us. They make mistakes. And he is, in some ways, he wouldn't surrender his whole life. He's old. He wants to be with his mates. Smoking the weed and going things further. He just wouldn't let go of it. He found it really difficult. Here, Bartimaeus, he surrendered his whole life to Jesus. And in some ways, Jesus knew what he needed. God doesn't give it our wants. What do you really need this very night? I think a lot of us, we haven't got a clue. If we're honest, we haven't got a clue. But here Bartimaeus, I want to see. If you look in the other Gospels, it's three times in Matthew and in Luke. It says, in one part it says, I want to see again. So we don't know whether he went blind, we just don't know. But here, he just says, I want to see, and Jesus knew. In some ways, his faith in him. Who do you trust completely? Ask yourself. I trust my missus. I'd be lost without her. I actually trust her. I can remember when I was 16 and I went on an outward bound course. A young lad from Liverpool, late. I worked for Wimpy's. I went to Clitheroe with a gang of kids, all of same age. And he said, today, lads, we're going potholing. Oh, that'll be good. Till I got down there. Deep hole. All my old clothes on. And this man, the instructor, I want you to trust me. Where I step, I want you to step. Do you know what? I was like, I'll trust you. I would. If he said, stand on your head, I would have done. It was one of those moments where you just trust people completely. And I can never forget that moment. What are we like with Jesus? Do we trust him day by day when things are not going good? Think about it. Majesty. Think what Magnus said there. He's almighty. Lastly, Bartimaeus went on the road, didn't he, with Jesus? Didn't he? I don't know. I wonder where he went home. With his mother. Where is he? But he just followed Jesus on the road. Like some of the disciples, and just left their nets and followed. You've got to live out your faith. I want to say to you, oh, you were all studying. Oh, I left school at 15. It took me till 24, age of 24, to get my HND in building. I used to go just 1 hour a night, twice a week to college. It was tough. So I know some of you, as you know, I can tell you just a couple of weeks ago, Peter was having this, what's on your heart that you want? And I came up and I wrote something on my bit of paper. But you know when you can't help but look? And there was another, I don't know, I can't remember, it was a boy or a girl, a teenager came up, put it down, I put mine, I couldn't help but look. And do you know what the young person said? I want a job. Oh, I'm praying. I don't know who she is, but I pray every day for that person. Lord, will she find that job that she's, definitely looking for? I wonder whether that was you. I don't know. You would know it if it was you, because I couldn't help but look at that bit of paper. Live out your faith. I want to encourage you tonight. What was the three P's I give you? Perfect, yeah. When Bartimaeus met Jesus, what do you want me to do for you? He met him personally, one-to-one. See, we're in a fellowship. We love being here, don't we, Jean? We just love it. God, do you know what I'm saying to Magnus? Every time I come, especially on a Sunday morning, every time I've been, I've cried my eyes out. Can't help but cry as we're singing the praises. You don't realise how blessed you are with your musicians. Some of the places that I go to, and they got a little CD, or as I call it, plinkety plonk on the piano, but trying their best. You don't realise how blessed you are. I'm going to close now with just a little prayer. I'm going to ask the lady to put up on the. Will you ask today? It's between you and Jesus. I can't affect that. It's Holy Spirit now at work. Here's a prayer that each of us maybe say today when we, let's be a Barnabas, realise that things that we've come to faith. Maybe there's somebody here who hasn't. Maybe it could, do you know, I brought a New Testament today, maybe for somebody. Maybe someone wants to give their life today. Come and see me. I'd love to pray with you. Start you on that road. Well, let's say this together, just as we're looking, then we'll have just a little bit of quietness. And we say together, renew us, O Lord our God. Renew our faith in your purpose. Renew obedience to your commands. Renew our love, our hope, our joy, and our discipleship for Jesus' sake. Amen. Don't forget there's a couple of people who, if you'd like to pray with them in the prayer corner afterwards, do so. Don't leave it. I always think the devil says these words to us. There's no worry. Think about it. There's no worry. The Bible says to come. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to be saved. Think about that.